mad. No, not at all. And I know I'm the father. There was never a doubt about that. I know you said you weren't ready for marriage and kids. I don't want you to think I did this on purpose, that I'm trying to trap you or something.
I don't think that at all, Muse. My hand moved into her hair and I cupped her cheek. I tried to erase the fear in her eyes by enveloping her in my confidence.
No, I'm not ready for marriage and kids. I wanted more time for it to be just us. But it was going to happen anyway. I was never going to let you go, so if you ever demanded I put a ring on your finger, I would do it because I can't live without you. This baby doesn't change anything. It doesn't make me love you less, it makes me love you more. I pressed my forehead to hers. I want you to relax now. I promise I'll always take care of both of you. I will be the best father I can be, and I will be the best husband I can be.
I'm not asking you to marry me, Con, just because
I do want to marry you. I tilted her head, forcing her to look up at me. I want us to be a family. I want both of you to have my last name. I'm never going to feel this way about another woman as long as I live.
She finally smiled, the fear slowly dissipating from her eyes. It's sooner than I wanted, yes, but it doesn't mean I don't want it. My hands moved to her flat stomach. There was no sign of life, not even a small bump, but just knowing a piece of her and me was deep inside was enough for me.
Con, there's always the possibility that the baby won't make it to full term. So maybe we should wait.
The sentence offended me, deeply. I'd barely accepted the fact that I was going to be a father, and now I was already attached to the idea of us being a family. I was already scared of losing the life growing inside her.
Don't talk like that.
My hands rested against her belly, protecting her from everything. I want to spend my life with you no matter what, because I love you. After a long session of lovemaking, Muse passed out under the sheets. The long nights of stress had caught up with her, and now that she knew everything would be all right, she finally got some rest. I went into my office. It was 9 in the evening, and I'd skipped dinner. Dante seemed to understand we didn't want to be bothered that evening. I opened a brand new bottle of scotch, poured a glass, and thought about everything that had happened in the past few hours.
Shit. I was going to be a father.
No, I wasn't expecting it, and fuck no, I was not ready for it. But my fear wouldn't change the future. So I needed to accept what was to come and man up. When Muse was so afraid of what my reaction would be, that forced me to be strong for her. It forced me to be the rock that she needed me to be. She already had all the stress on her shoulders because the baby was living inside her. My job was to make her calm. Mission accomplished. But now, it was my time to freak out. When I grabbed the phone, I debated who to call first. Carter was my best friend, but for some reason that didn't feel right. The only person I really wanted to call was my own father. When my mother was pregnant with me, he said he wasn't ready to start a family, but the accident ended up being the best thing that ever happened to him. So I called him. Despite the late hour, he answered almost immediately.
"Con, are you all right?"
Protective and serious, he was ready for the worst possible news. He'd lived a life of crime before I came along, and old habits died hard.
"Yeah, I'm all right, but I need to talk to you, in private."
"Give me a second."
He turned to speak to my mother in the background.
"I've got to take care of some business, Button."
The sound was then muffled as he walked to his office in a different area of the house. Once the door clicked behind him, he spoke again.
"I'm here."
"Well, I'm not sure how to say this. I guess I'm just going to say it."
"All right."
He turned quiet, letting me have the floor.
"Sapphire is pregnant."
I said the words out loud, and once I heard them, they felt even more real.
She was having my baby. I would be a father. We would be a family. But just yesterday, all I cared about was my lingerie show. Now that seemed so damn insignificant. My father was quiet for a while.
I wasn't expecting you to say that, son.
I wasn't expecting her to say it to me either.
I hate to ask, but is it yours?
No doubt. I wasn't going to get a test done. If Muse said she didn't sleep with anyone else, I believed her, just as she believed that I hadn't been with anyone else either. There was no reason for either of us to lie. Even when we were apart, we were committed to each other, because we loved each other. My father didn't press that topic any further.
How do you feel about it?
Kids were the last thing on my mind. I knew I could be honest with my father. He wouldn't judge me for anything I said.
That was how I felt when your mother was pregnant with you.
I'm not ready for any of this, but that doesn't matter. Sapphire was really scared to tell me. She was afraid of my reaction. Not that I blame her. But seeing her so scared made me want to make everything better, so I told her it would be all right, that it would be okay.
It will be okay, Khan. Once the shock wears off, it'll get easier. Every man is afraid to be a father. Every man is afraid he won't do a good job. Any man who thinks fatherhood is easy and simple obviously hasn't put much thought into it.
Yeah.
Did you offer to marry her?
My dad would punch me if I didn't. Of course.
And did she say yes?
Not formally. She said we didn't need to get married if that's not what I wanted.
She doesn't strike me as a woman who would try to trap you. She seems like she genuinely loves you, for who you are.
She does. I had no doubt of that. Which is why I want to marry her. I've never felt this way about another woman before her. When she told me she was pregnant, it made me think of what you said to me. That just because I wasn't ready didn't mean it wasn't already happening. Maybe I wasn't ready to love her, but I do love her. Maybe I'm not ready to be a father, but we're a family. And maybe I'm not ready to be a husband, but I've already committed my whole life to her.
Exactly.
I don't want another woman as long as I live.
So, this is a blessing.
It is, I whispered.
Congratulations. I'm very happy for you. It's hard to see now, but having children is the greatest joy you'll ever know. When they're young, when they're old, it's like having your heart live outside your body. I didn't think I'd love anyone more than your mother, and then you were born. Then Vanessa was born, and your mother moved to the bottom of the list. It's strange, hard to understand until you experience it yourself. Right now, this seems like the most stressful day of your life. But when you look back on it, you'll realize it's the happiest.
You're always right, Father, so I believe you.
And I'll always be here if you need advice.
Yeah, I said. I'm lucky that I have you as a father. Most people don't have what I have, so I can ask the best of the best, makes it a little easier. I didn't realize what I'd said because it tumbled out of my mouth so quickly. I was speaking from the heart, unfiltered. My father didn't say anything for a solid minute. He just sat on the phone, letting the silence stretch between us.
One day, your son or daughter is going to say something like that to you, and you'll know it was all worth it.
I took the day off from work because the show didn't seem important to me anymore. Nicole was both pissed and confused. It was unlike me to drop the ball like this, but I didn't care what she thought. I lay beside Muse in bed while I waited for her to wake up. She must be catching up on sleep because she should have been awake a while ago. But she kept sleeping, hooked into my side like a child holding a teddy bear. When she finally woke up, my face was the first thing she saw. Khan. My fingers moved through her hair, and I placed a kiss on her forehead. Morning. She stretched beside me before she buried her face in my neck. She hugged me as she woke up slowly, her arm squeezing my waist. My fingers drifted down her back, feeling the smooth skin. She took her time waking up, her breathing slowly increasing until she was finally awake. Then she pulled away and propped herself on one elbow.
What time is it?
9:30.
Shit, really?
She squinted at the clock on my nightstand to make sure I was right.
We've got to get to work.
She scooted herself to the edge of the bed. Oh, come back here. I grabbed her by the elbow and gently tugged her back toward me. We aren't going to work today.
You want me to stay home?
I pulled her back into my side and placed a kiss at her hairline. We're both staying home today.
But why?
She whispered. My hand moved to her flat stomach. I don't want to work today. I want to spend time with you. My fingers felt her tiny belly button and the small abs underneath her skin.
I know you have a lot of work to do for the show.
I don't give a shit about the show, I said seriously. I'm staying here, with you. Her eyes softened in a way they never had before.
That's so sweet.
I thought we would try to make breakfast together.
In Dante's kitchen?
She asked in surprise.
Yup.
And do you think he'll be okay with that?
I told him to take the day off.
Do you know anything about cooking?
She asked.
Nope.
This should be fun,
she said with a laugh. You can teach me, and then we can eat what's edible before we order a pizza.
I've never seen you order a pizza before.
I used to, before I could afford a guy like Dante.
I can't even picture that.
She rubbed her hand up my chest, in a much better mood than she was last night. Now she couldn't stop smiling. She couldn't stop looking at me like she was a very happy woman.
Looks like you're about to see for yourself.
Have more faith in yourself than that. I'm sure you can make some breakfast. But I admit, I would love to see Dante's reaction when he opened the door to a pizza delivery person.
Me too.
Neus and I made a mess in the kitchen as we prepared pancakes, eggs, and bacon. I burned the first batch of eggs, so I had to make a second one. Neus took care of everything else since she was a lot faster than me. We left a tornado of dishes behind. Dante wouldn't be too happy. We stood at the counter as we ate, pancake batter on our clothes and spots of grease on our skin.
Pretty good,
Neus said.
Just as good as the stuff you made me in New York.
Maybe we should cook more often.
I glanced at the dishes and shook my head.
No thanks, she chuckled.
It's not so bad. The dishwasher does most of the work.
She dragged the pancake through the syrup, then popped it into her mouth. It was the most I'd seen her eat in days, and now I was glad her appetite had returned.
I feel like I owe you an apology.
Me?
I asked. Why?
I should have told you sooner. I shouldn't have assumed...
Don't apologize. I set my fork down and inched closer to her, my face almost touching hers. You had every right to be afraid, and it makes me very happy that you aren't afraid anymore.
Well, you took the news a lot better than I thought you would.
I kissed her forehead, smelling the syrup on her lips. I'm a very happy man. I'm successful, rich, and now I have a woman who's giving me a family, who's giving me a legacy. To be anything but happy would be an insult to all those people who have nothing. And I certainly don't have nothing.
Chapter 14. Vanessa. I finished my painting and left it on display in the hall to be judged by the other students. I didn't consider myself a great artist, but I was good enough to convey a story. I sketched out the details of the faces before I added the paint and brought it to life. The image I decided to depict now was my parents working together in the vineyards. Husband and wife, they were a team as they created a living directly from the soil. It depicted Italian culture, Italian pastimes. Maybe it was stupid to spend money to go to university to pursue a hobby. Becoming a professional painter seemed very unlikely. And if I didn't believe in myself, why should anyone believe in me? But I didn't have any other interests. I didn't want to work in a restaurant, and I didn't want to go into business like everyone else in my family. I craved a simple life. More than likely, I would take over Barsetti Vineyards, but right now, my family didn't need me. Might as well spend my time exploring my other talents. Besides, I loved living in Milan. It was nothing like Tuscany, but it was a great experience. This time away from my family taught me to appreciate them more. I left campus and walked to my apartment in the center of town. I lived alone because my parents didn't want me to have roommates. My father paid my rent and gave me an allowance to spend every month. When I first came to Milan, taking his money didn't seem strange. But now that I'd been living there for a year, I'd started to hate it. I didn't want his money anymore. That motivated me to make my paintings good enough to sell. If I could make enough money just to cover my expenses, I wouldn't have to rely on my father's support. And I knew that would make him proud. I walked up to my door and shoved the key inside. But the lock was already undone. Did I forget to lock it? It wouldn't be my first time, so I stepped inside. My apartment wasn't big, just a one-bedroom with a small living room and a tiny kitchen. As a single person, it was all I needed. The second I stepped inside, I noticed something was wrong. All the lights were off. I always left a few on so I wouldn't have to step into the darkness once the sun was gone. My eyes fell to the large shape sitting on the couch, the outline of a man's shadow. I didn't need to see his face to know he was hard like steel, and I didn't need to ask why he was there to figure it out. You know, breaking and entering is against the law. As a Barsetti, I refused to cower in fear. I'd hold my head high, regardless of the way my life would be taken from me. I was a very proud woman. And you picked the wrong apartment to rob. I'm a poor-ass college student. I don't have shit to take. I flicked on the light beside me, illuminating the living room and kitchen. The man sitting on the couch was big and ugly. He wore a cold sneer, and his eyes were lit with amusement. His hands were empty of a gun or a knife, but that didn't downplay his dangerous vibe. Dressed in all black with a scar along his eye, he was the stuff of nightmares. Anyone else would scream their head off. I didn't, but that didn't mean I wasn't scared. He released a cold chuckle. You're either very stupid or very brave. I set my bag on the floor, making it thud against the tile from the weight of the books. You have to be a little stupid in order to be brave. And you're forgetting proud. You came in here thinking you could catch me off balance. You don't know who you're dealing with. I stepped into the kitchen and turned my back to him. I opened the fridge, pretending everything was casual. Anyone else would grab a kitchen knife, but I seemed to be looking for a snack. Little did he know, I kept my biggest steak knife right on the top shelf. He rose from the couch and sauntered toward me, an amused expression still on his face. You really are your father's daughter. Arrogant. You want something to eat or what? I grabbed the knife and kept it hidden behind the door. There's no one out here looking after you, little girl, so you can drop the tough girl. I shut the door and stabbed the knife right into his chest. His reflexes were astonishingly fast, so he pivoted his body just in time to protect his heart. The blade went into his shoulder, halfway in. He groaned, then snatched my wrist and flung me hard onto the ground. Dumb fucking bitch. He yanked the knife out and tossed it on the counter, the metal clanging with the sound and spilling blood everywhere. I hit my head on the floor, but I didn't let the disorientation slow me down. I climbed to my feet and reached for the glass cookie jar so I could slam it on his head. Nope. He grabbed me by the ankle and dragged me toward him across the floor. I had no intention of hurting you, but now you've pissed me off. He pulled his hand back and slapped me hard across the face. I turned with the hit but refused to show any sign of pain. You picked the wrong family to fuck with, asshole. He kneeled down on top of me, staring at me with his disgusting expression. No, your brother shouldn't have crossed me. And who are you? I spat on his face. A real man doesn't go after the weakest prey. He fights a man his own size. But you aren't the weakest, sweetheart. His hand moved to my face, cupping my cheek. I find you very fascinating. I turned my face and bit down hard, biting his thumb. He yanked his hand away and slapped me again. Calm down, bitch. If your brother cooperates, you're home free. What do you want from him? Money? Who are you? Money? He asked with a laugh. No, I don't give a damn about money. But he took someone that belonged to me. A woman that should be mine. He has to give her back, or I'll keep you instead. The only woman I could possibly think of was Sapphire. Sapphire? Yep. My brother loved her and would never give her up, and she was my friend, so I didn't want her to hand herself over anyway. That meant I had to get out of this on my own. But how?
Chapter 15. Conway. I walked into the bedroom and dropped my jacket on the ground. Like every other day, I stripped off each piece of clothing and didn't give a damn where they fell. But once I saw them on the ground, I realized Muse would pick them up, and I didn't want her doing anything. I gathered my clothes again and hung them up so Dante could take them after dinner. Muse stepped out of the bedroom and into the living room, dressed in a dark blue dress that reached past her knees. She was only a few weeks pregnant, so there was no visible change in her body, but to me, she was already glowing. "How is work?" she asked. "Everything is coming together. My body was starting to return to normal now that I was exercising every day. When it was too cold to swim, I went to the gym and lifted weights. My abs were thicker and my biceps were stronger. Nicole thinks you should still be in the show."
"In a few weeks, I'll be a month along. It might not be obvious, but I'll still be a little bigger than I should."
"Even if you are showing, I think that's fine. It'd be sexier anyway."
"Sexy?"
she asked.
"Men don't fantasize about pregnant women."
In the past, I would have said the same. But now that my woman was pregnant, there was something innately sexy about it. Knowing I was the one who knocked her up gave me a new sense of purpose. "I don't agree with that. I think any man who has a pregnant wife is turned on every time he looks at her."
"I don't look pregnant yet, so you don't know."
I looked her up and down. "Oh, I know." She moved into my body and wrapped her arms around my neck.
"So what are we going to do?"
"It's up to you. Do you still want to do it? Because you don't have to if you don't want to." She tilted her head back to look at me. Her eyes lit up as she stared into my face.
"Yes, I want to."
"Are you sure?"
"Yes."
I rubbed my nose against hers before I kissed her on the forehead.
"Then I'm going to make an announcement that we're having a baby together. I think that will attract even more attention to the lingerie."
"Are you sure that's a good idea?"
she asked.
"Maybe we should wait."
"Don't even talk like that." I silenced her with my tone. I didn't want to entertain my thoughts with the horrible possibility that she could lose our baby. A week ago, I didn't want children, but now that she was pregnant, I would do anything to protect that baby growing inside her. She rested her forehead against my chin.
"All right, then let's do it."
"Perfect." I rested my lips against her forehead. "I made an appointment with a doctor in Milan. He's the best in Italy. We'll see him tomorrow."
"Oh, that's great. Thank you."
"I'm sure he'll want you to take some prenatal vitamins or something." My fingers moved underneath the fall of her hair,
Did you tell Nicole?
Yeah.
What did she say?
Congratulations, stuff like that.
Have you told anyone else?
I called my father the other night.
Really?
She stepped back to look up at me.
What did he say?
He's excited. It's his first grandchild. She rested her face against my chest.
I'm glad he's happy about it. I wasn't sure how your family would feel about it.
What are you talking about? I wrapped my arms around her. They adore you.
I just don't want them to think I did this on purpose or something.
They don't. My dad told me to settle down with you many times. When you were in New York, he came by the house and tried to talk me into it. So don't worry about what they think of you. You make me happy, and that's all they care about. I rested my chin on her head and held her in my arms. She was so tiny in comparison to my large stature. It made me want to protect her even more, to protect the life that we made together. I'm sorry I ever let you go. She tightened her arms around my waist.
Let's forget it, Con. I'm here now. We're together. That's all that matters.
I squeezed her a little harder, feeling the guilt crush me. You always believed I loved you, even when I said I didn't.
I saw it in the way you looked at me, just the way I see it now. I know you better than you know yourself.
Yes, I closed my eyes. Yes, you do. I held her for minutes, treasuring the feeling of her small body against mine. Whenever I came home and looked at her, there was usually one thing on my mind, but right now I just wanted to hold her. I treasured this woman so deeply. I loved her more than I'd ever loved anyone else. She'd become my whole world, and now I couldn't believe I'd ever let her go. My phone started to ring in my pocket. I was going to ignore it because I didn't care at that moment, but Mew was pulled away.
You should get that.
Her hands trailed down my stomach as she stepped away.
I'll still be here when you're done.
She gave me a slight smile before she walked away and headed into the bedroom. I fished out my phone and saw the number on the screen, a number I didn't recognize. I took the call and held the phone to my ear. Conway. A heated voice came over the line, a tone I'd recognize anywhere. I'd only been exposed to him twice, but you never forgot your enemy's presence. Barsetti, how's it going? It was Knuckles. I didn't need to ask to make sure. I would ask what you want, but I don't care. I was glad Muse walked into the other room. I didn't want her to hear any of this conversation. I didn't want her to feel scared, not when she should only be concerned about the baby growing inside her. Don't call my bluff, Barsetti, not when I have something you want. You don't have anything I want. Don't be too sure of that, he said with a chuckle. He turned away from the phone and spoke to someone in the background. Vanessa, say something to your brother.
Go fuck yourself.
Vanessa's deep and powerful voice rang over the line, carrying the pride of the Barsetti line. She must have been kidnapped and trapped, but she still held her head high. I didn't need to check to make sure it was her. It definitely was. Knuckles came back to the phone. Looks like I do have something you want. Touch her and I'll fucking kill you. The cords in my neck almost burst open and spit flew from my mouth. I was so calm just a second ago, holding my woman in my arms, and now I was filled with enough adrenaline to break down a concrete wall with just my hands.
Give me what I want and no one gets hurt, he said calmly. I hate to admit it, I actually respect your little sister. She's got quite a fight in her.
I didn't care about money, not when it came to my sister. I'd sell this house in a heartbeat to get her back. My sister and I bickered back and forth a lot, but at the end of the day, I'd lay down my life for hers. I loved her so damn much.
How much, Knuckles, how much do you want?
It's not about how much, he said.
Money comes and goes. I want something invaluable. Priceless.
I already knew what it was before he even said it.
I want a priceless jewel that you call Sapphire. Let's trade.
You can't break the Skull King oath. I bought Muse fair and square at the underground. According to the rules, he couldn't take her. It was punishable by death. And I'm not. I'm not breaking into your house and dragging her out by the hair. I'm offering you a deal. If you want Vanessa Barsetti, you have to give me Sapphire. If you don't want the deal, fine. I'll make use of Vanessa instead. I clenched my fists so hard, my knuckles almost tore out of my skin. What's it going to be? I was silenced by the gravity of the situation. If it were anyone else, I would make the trade. My sister was my family. Nothing was more important than family, but Muse was carrying my baby. She had a little Barsetti inside of her. There was no right answer, and I didn't want to make the trade because I couldn't afford to lose either of them. I loved them both. He chuckled into the phone.
It's a difficult decision. I'll give you a few hours to decide. Just remember, whoever I get will be raped and tortured until I get bored with her. So you need to decide who you love more, your sister or your whore.
I left the bedroom and stormed into my office without saying a word to Muse. I only had 5 minutes before she figured out something was wrong. I had to make those minutes count. Depending on when Knuckles captured Vanessa, he could still be in Milan. There was a good chance he was. Vanessa still had a fiery attitude, so she couldn't have been captive for long. Like all prisoners, her spirit would eventually break down. The fact that she still talked back was a good sign. She wasn't taken that long ago, so yes, he was still in Milan. This was entirely my fault. So I wanted to shield my family and not get them involved. I didn't want to worry my parents, to make them terrified of losing their only daughter. But I knew the situation was too important for my arrogance. I made the hardest phone call I'd ever had to make. My father answered in a good mood.
I hope you don't mind, but I told your mother about the baby. You have no idea how happy she is.
I couldn't bask in my mother's happiness, not when I'd never been this scared in my life. All the joy I'd just given my parents was about to be yanked away. Father, I need you and Uncle Kane to get on a plane here as quickly as possible. I don't know how to say this, but since I don't have much time, I've just got to blurt it out. Vanessa has been taken by an American crime lord named Knuckles. He's been obsessed with Sapphire for the last year, and now he wants to make a trade. Sapphire for Vanessa. He's given me a few hours to decide. Instead of screaming into the phone or asking a bunch of questions, my father remained calm. He remained so fucking calm that I couldn't wrap my mind around it.
Do you have any idea where he is?
Milan.
You're certain of that?
He took Vanessa not too long ago.
How do you know that?
Because she's still being a smartass in the background. Still calm as ever.
I'll be there in 45 minutes with backup. Take Carter with you into Milan. Bring guns.
All right.
Do not make that trade, Khan.
I was shocked he said that. Don't?
No.
But Vanessa...
Sapphira's family now. We'll get them both back.
I didn't know much about my father's past, but listening to him speak with such confidence gave me a small sense of calmness. All right. I'll head to Milan with Carter. I'll try to put a tracer on the phone to figure out where he is.
You can try, but it won't work. You said Vanessa was in the background.
Yes. How could he talk about my kidnapped sister without skipping a beat? I definitely wouldn't tell him the last thing Knuckles said to me.
How close was she?
I don't know. I could hear her pretty well. But why?
Grab your security team and take them with you. Next time he calls... Listen to her. I told her what to do if this ever happened. She should give us a clue.
What did she say when you heard her in the background?
She told Knuckles to fuck himself.
All right. That means she's in transit. She doesn't know where she is.
So I should still head to Milan?
Yes. I've got to go, Khan.
We were both running out of time. I blurted the first thing that came to mind. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about all this.
I'm gonna get your sister back, and that's a promise.
Khan, what's going on?
Muse followed me to the front door.
I was carrying two semi-automatic rifles with a pistol on each hip. I was strapped with enough ammo for a war. Knuckles called me. He has Vanessa, and if I don't trade you for her, he's going to kill her. Muse halted and covered her mouth with both hands. Tears sprung to her eyes immediately, her reaction quicker than anything I'd ever seen.
No.
My father is meeting me in Milan. Carter and I are leaving now. We think she's still there.
Do you know where she is?
No, but we'll figure it out. Once Vanessa was safe, I'd put a bullet in each of his eyes. He'd tortured Muse long enough, and now he was going to pay the ultimate sacrifice for laying a hand on my sister. He'd unleashed the ferocity of the Barsetti family.
Con, just trade me, she begged. Please?
I turned back around, shooting her an incredulous look.
Please,
she repeated.
Vanessa doesn't deserve this. She did nothing wrong. This is all my fault. He wants me. If anything happens to her...
I'm not trading you.
Con.
I'll get her back. Tears poured from her eyes down her cheeks.
I couldn't live with myself if something happened to her.
Neither can I, which is why I'm going to get her back. I grabbed the back of her head and pressed a kiss to her lips. It was hard and quick, conveying the affection I wished I had more time to show her. I didn't know what was going to happen. I might die in the fight. Maybe I wouldn't make it back, and I would never meet the little person living inside her. If I don't come back, you'll be taken care of.
Don't talk like that.
I pressed my forehead to hers and closed my eyes. I'll do everything I can to come back, but I'll also do everything I can to save my sister. My family will take care of you.
I don't need anyone to take care of us,
she whispered through her tears.
We just need you to love us.
I pressed a kiss to her forehead. I will. No matter what happens, I always will. I couldn't bear the sadness on her face any longer, so I turned around and walked out the front door. Carter was there with his men, and my men were ready to go, too. I got into the passenger seat of one of the SUVs, while Carter got behind the wheel. Carter drove off, ignoring the speed limit and sprinting down the country road. I didn't look back to see if Muse was watching us. I couldn't bear to watch her cry anymore. Carter drove with one hand on the steering wheel, some of his crew sitting behind us in the second row.
Anything new?
I stared out the window, feeling utterly helpless. I had to sit still for 30 minutes when my heart was racing inside my chest. There was so much adrenaline, so much anxiety. No.
Are you sure he's in Milan? That's exactly where we'll guess he is. This guy can't be that stupid.
Milan is a big place. Besides, there's nowhere else to go. It's just the countryside once you're past it.
I would just hate to come all the way out here and be wrong.
Trust me, Carter, I would too.
We've got to put this guy down for good, his whole crew too. No survivors.
Agreed. I knew how to handle a weapon, but I'd never killed anyone. But that didn't mean I wouldn't hesitate to pull the trigger. The second I laid eyes on Knuckles, he was dead. There would be no surrender.
As much as you may want to torture him, let it go.
Torture wouldn't give me as much satisfaction as seeing his dead body on the ground. I'd probably throw it in a dumpster where it could be fed upon by rats and other critters from the gutters. That was more than what he deserved. We arrived in Milan and parked in the garage at the bottom of my building. It was private property, making it easy to hide. The cops would turn the other way if they saw us, but having two cars with armed men would still turn a lot of heads. My father called me.
Hey, we're in Milan.
My father responded.
We're about 10 minutes out. Where do you want to meet?
I didn't ask how he got there so quickly. Garage of my building.
All right,
he answered.
As he called.
Just then, the phone started to beep with the other line. I glanced at it and recognized the number. He's calling me now.
Connect it. I'll listen.
I turned it into a conference call.
You said you would give me a few hours. It had been less than one.
Changed my mind.
I had no idea how he looked on the other line, but his arrogance made me think he was smiling.
What's it going to be?
Is she all right? I demanded.
A tip-top shape.
How do I know you're not lying?
If she's dead, I have nothing to barter with. And you know how much I want Sapphire's pussy.
I almost slammed my fist into the dashboard. Carter looked at me from the passenger seat, knowing that was going to set me off. But my sister's life was on the line, so the insult wasn't important in comparison. I need some reassurance first.
Does that mean you want to make the trade?
He asked, hopefully.
Poor Sapphire. Guess you never really loved her.
Prove Vanessa is alive and I'll answer. He growled over the line, then there was a pause. He seemed to be moving around somewhere. His voice returned and he spoke directly to my sister.
Your brother wants to make sure you're alive, and remember what we talked about.
He was warning her not to give away her position, and I didn't want to know what the punishment was. Vanessa's strong voice sounded from the background.
Khan, kill this fat lady and—
Enough. Knuckles walked away, her voice fading into the background as he kept moving.
There. You heard it with your own ears. Your sister is alive and well for now. Hand Sapphire over and your sister is yours. Vanessa's a very pretty woman. She might be prettier than your girl, but you know, I wanted Sapphire longer.
I hated knowing my father had to listen to this. How do we make the trade?
We meet in the countryside. You can bring your boys and I'll bring mine. If we cross each other, none of us will get out of this alive.
I didn't know what else to do but agree to the terms. If I said no, I might not get a hold of him again. Vanessa didn't give any helpful information, so we were stuck. Let's meet at 2. There shouldn't be anyone out at that time.
Sounds good to me. Wait for further instruction.
Click. Now it was just my father and me. I agreed because I didn't know what else to do. If we have no idea where he is, we have no choice but to meet him.
You did the right thing.
Now my heart was beating faster, the terror getting to me. What if I didn't find Vanessa?
Fat lady.
My father spoke under his breath, talking to himself more than to me. What?
She told us to kill the fat lady. It's a strange insult.
He was right. I'd never heard her say anything like that in my life. You're right.
Hold on.
My father took a break from the phone as he considered her words more carefully. Carter had been listening to the entire conversation.
The only thing I can think of is until the fat lady sings, and fat ladies
are opera singers. I turned back to the phone. The opera house. La Scala.
You're right, Khan.
My father said in agreement.
It's one of the biggest landmarks in this city. It's unmistakable. Vanessa must have seen it before they pulled her inside.
There are a few restaurants around the area, I said, but also a few apartment complexes.
At least we have an area now,
my father said.
Let's meet there, one block over.
All right. I watched Carter start the engine.
We'll meet you there. Khan.
Yeah, I said.
I know you've got beef with this guy, but he's mine. Do you understand?
I wanted to kill Knuckles for everything he'd done to the woman who was now mine. He'd stalked her, terrorized her. I wanted the assurance that he would never harm her again by putting 2 bullets in his brain. But I understood that my father's only daughter had been taken. And despite how calmly he spoke, he was furious. His bloodlust couldn't be satisfied until he slit the man's throat. Yes, I understand.
Chapter 16. Vanessa. I was placed in a bedroom inside the apartment. When Knuckles transferred me, he put a blindfold over my eyes. But I knew this city like the back of my hand, and every time we turned, I knew what street we were on. When I turned my face slightly, I managed to get a peek of La Scala out of the corner of my eyes. I was exactly where I thought we were, and then the car drove into an underground garage of a building. As my father taught me a long time ago, I was supposed to identify my surroundings and convey them in code. When my father told me all this initially, I brushed it off and called him paranoid. Guess he wasn't so paranoid after all. The man who had me didn't seem that interested in me. He only wanted Sapphire, which worked in my favor. But his henchmen were creeps, constantly touching my thigh and the back of the seat or smelling my neck. They were totally repulsive. When my brother was on the phone, I gave them the one bit of information I had at my disposal. I played it off as an insult, and I hope my family was able to figure out what I was saying. My life depended on it. Now I sat on the small twin bed with my back against the wall. The room had nothing in it, like it only existed to house prisoners like me. I had a small window that overlooked the fire escape, but there were bars placed over it. I didn't see any way out. My father promised me he would always come get me if this ever happened, but my mother taught me something else. She told me I should never wait to be rescued. The only person I could really rely on was myself. I had to find a way out, at any cost. Now I was trying to plan an exit strategy. Knuckles had two men with him, both armed with pistols. He seemed like the kind of thug that had a lot of men at his disposal, but perhaps kidnapping me seemed like such an amateur plan, he didn't need more than two men. I could take down two men. I would just have to do it one at a time. I went to the door and knocked. "Hey, assholes!" Footsteps sounded before the door opened. One of the lackeys stared at me, his gun in his holster and the annoyance in his eyes. He obviously didn't care about his babysitting gig, but his eyes roamed over my body without any shame.
"What?"
"What do you mean, what?" I placed both hands on my hips. "I'm locked in this room without water. Even a dog gets a water bowl."
"And you sound like a dog."
I let the insult slide because I had bigger fish to fry. "Get me a glass of water."
"Please."
"Now." I pressed, crossing my arms over my chest. I turned around and shut the door in his face. He sighed from the other side of the wood, then walked away. I was trying to get under his skin, trying to anger him so he wouldn't think logically. Then I would be able to make my move when he was distracted. He returned a moment later with the water. "Took you long enough?" I took the glass, then kicked the door shut with my foot. He sighed again, this time louder. I drank the entire glass and waited an appropriate amount of time before I made my move. Just when I stood up to knock on the door, the lock turned and Knuckles presented himself. A beefy man with a malicious gaze, he was terrifying. I did my best to pretend he wasn't. "Good, you're here." I tossed the cup at him. "More water." I was the victim in this situation, but I had to exert my power as much as possible. I had to remind him I was a human being, not a punching bag. He caught it with one hand, his lip curling into a smile.
"Your brother has agreed to make the trade. Looks like you're going home."
He approached the bed and took a seat, his eyes examining my neck.
"If I hadn't wanted Sapphire for so long, I would just keep you instead. We'd be in the Cayman Islands by now, and I'd be breaking you in."
I forced my body not to shiver in disgust. I'd rather die than let this man get on top of me. I'd even slit my own throat if I had to. I was relieved I would be free soon, but I was repulsed that my friend would take my place. I didn't want her to be his victim, to be subjected to the torture he had in mind. "You should keep me. I'm a lot more valuable than she is."
"Yeah?"
he asked with interest.
"How so?"
"I'm a Barsetti. I come from an honorable family. I'm not the kind of woman who just gives up."
"Sounds like you're giving up to me by taking her place."
"No, that's me still fighting." His eyes roamed over my body, particularly my legs.
"I've seen very few women who have your kind of beauty. The color of your skin, Your hair, your curves.
He didn't touch me, but the way his eyes roamed over my body was enough to make me feel sick.
But with Sapphire, it's personal.
What did she do?
Her brother stole from me, so taking her is his way of repaying his debt.
Why don't you just ask him for the money? He grinned.
Because I already killed him.
My body turned to ice.
So I have to make this trade. I'm sure she'll enjoy the Cayman Islands.
And you think I won't tell Conway where you're taking her?
I hope you do, he said. He'll come to my turf and be outnumbered. I'll kill him and the rest of his family. And then I'll come after you.
He winked, then walked out of the bedroom. I told myself not to be scared, that fear would only shatter my resolve. If I let it get to me, I might lose the strength to try to escape. Right now, running was my only option. If I could get away, I could save both Sapphire and myself in the process. But that was easier said than done. I knocked on the door. The same man who gave me the water answered.
What?
I've got to take a piss. He remained in my way.
Then go.
I'm not peeing my pants. Gross.
I'm not letting you out of there.
He kept one hand on the door, blocking my path with his size.
So pee in that empty cup.
I don't have a dick like you do. His eyes moved down.
I'm going to need proof.
I didn't hesitate before I kicked him in the shin. He groaned, then flinched, his torso jerking down as he moved to grab his leg. This wasn't part of the plan, but I had to take advantage of the opportunity and go for it. I yanked the gun out of his holster, clicked off the safety, and shot him in the head. It was the first time I'd ever killed anyone. I didn't have time to think about what just happened. I didn't have time to process the consequences of my actions. I'd shot a gun before, but I'd never aimed at a person. The man collapsed to the floor, dead instantly. There was no time for regret. I was doing this to save my life, and Sapphire's. The gunshot was loud and filled the apartment with the sound of an explosion. I ran to the front room, looking for the exit so I could dart out of there.
Knuckles, she has a gun.
The second henchman hid behind the couch and pointed his gun at me. He pulled the trigger, but the shot missed me by less than an inch. Knuckles came from the other way and snatched my ankle. He yanked me until I tripped and hit the ground. I kicked as hard as I could, then pointed the gun in his face. He smacked it out of the way and tugged on my ankle again. I turned hard, making my foot come loose. Then I kicked him hard in the nose, hearing it crack loudly. I snatched the gun and sprinted for the door again. This time, the lackey shot me and hit me. The bullet went into my arm, making my body jerk with the momentum. I'd never been shot, and I had no idea how it would feel. The thing that surprised me most was how painless it was. I didn't feel anything. Completely numb, all I felt was the heat from the bullet. I wanted to fall down and lie still, but I had to keep going. I might die if I didn't. I made it out the front door and sprinted down the hallway. I had to push my body to the limit, to keep going no matter how much I wanted to stop. A bullet could enter the back of my skull at any moment, and this could all be over.
Chapter 17. Conway. Our SUVs were parked right against the curb, looking conspicuous with their blacked-out windows and bulletproof glass. There were at least 20 men with us, half of them with Carter and me and the other half with my father and Uncle Kane. My father got out of the SUV and walked toward me, his leather jacket over his shoulders. His black t-shirt underneath looked a little puffy, and I knew that was because he was wearing a bulletproof vest underneath.
We should start on foot.
Vehicles are more obvious, and if he's inside one of these apartments, we don't want him to notice us until the last minute.
Do you think he realized what Vanessa said?
Hope not. If he did, we won't see him until the meeting tonight, and we'll have to come up with a different plan.
Uncle Kane came up behind him, dressed similarly, and with the same pissed-off expression in his eyes. His gun sat on his hip, and he didn't look the least bit happy to see me. He barely greeted Carter. When my mother emerged from the back of the SUV, I actually had to do a double take. What's Mom doing here? My father didn't look at her over his shoulder.
Let her be.
This is no place for her, I argued. How could you let her come along?
He tried, Uncle Kane said. It didn't work.
My father didn't hide his look of disappointment, but he stuck to his guns.
This is her daughter. There was nothing I could do to get her to stay behind. And she's pretty damn good with a gun. She agreed to stay in the rear.
I couldn't believe that my father, the most protective man on the planet, had allowed this to happen. I didn't consider my mother to be weak by any means, but a war zone was no place for her.
We should split into two groups and circle the block in different directions. If one of us uncovers something, we'll radio to...
All right, my father said.
We'll...
Gunshots fired into the air. Our heads snapped in different directions, hearing the backfire echo in the streets. Men pulled their guns from their holsters. My mom was the quickest to draw her weapon. The gunshots could be caused by anyone, but it was too much of a coincidence.
It's her, my father said. Let's move.
We sprinted down the road and cut over onto the next block. We all took different routes, preparing to come into contact with the shooters. I reached an apartment complex with Carter first, and the second we turned to the gate, we spotted her. Vanessa. She tripped on the concrete as she ran, the gun sliding out of her hand and hitting the ground. Blood soaked her clothes and streaked down her arm. A gunshot wound was in her left arm, and it was obvious her flesh had just been punctured. Motherfucker. I sprinted to her, my gun still secured in my hand.
Vanessa!
A henchman appeared behind her, his gun raised to shoot her in the back. Before I could aim and fire, the man had been hit in the chest. He collapsed to the concrete, dead, before he hit the ground. My father appeared from the left, a raging look in his eyes. Smoke still blew from the barrel of his gun. I got to Vanessa first and held her to her feet. You've been shot.
Obviously,
she hissed through her teeth, blood still spilling everywhere.
Knuckles shot me when I tried to get away.
My father didn't stop to check on Vanessa.
Conway, get her to the hospital. I've got to...
He stopped when he came face to face with Knuckles, a long gun pointed directly between his eyes.
No!
Vanessa tried to squirm out of my grasp. I held her tighter, my gun at the ready. Knuckles sneered at my father.
You thought you could cross me?
I did.
My father didn't raise his hands in the air. With a strong voice and even stronger stance, he didn't show an ounce of fear.
I've got my daughter back, and Sapphire is safe. You could put a bullet in my brain, but it wouldn't make a difference.
Knuckles pressed the gun harder into my father's skull, his irritation bright in his eyes. He held the gun, but my father held all the power. Even if Knuckles pulled that trigger, he would lose the game. It took all the victory out of it. Once he killed my father, he would be captured by the rest of our men. If he hadn't been so arrogant as to underestimate the Barsettis, he wouldn't have been so careless. I knew he was capable of a better plan than this, a man with more resources than us, but his confidence affected his judgment. If he'd taken the time to learn more about my family, he would have realized this wasn't our first rodeo. Fucking idiot. My mom appeared from behind Knuckles, a black rope between her hands. With featherlight steps, she came from around the corner, then yanked the rope against his throat, just when my father turned out of the way of the gun. With lightning speed, he broke Knuckles' wrist and snatched the gun out of his broken hand.
and my mom choked him harder, pulling so tight on the rope it was about to snap in half. She tugged on the rope and pulled him to the ground, making his body slam on the concrete. She was half his size and weight, but she managed